Go here, there, and everywhere with Jeff Blair. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. Is it a coincidence that Jeff Blair has covered two perfect games? Or should Dennis Martinez and David Cohn be giving him the full credit he deserves? This is The Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
You're insecure, don't know what for. You're turning heads when you walk through the door. Don't need makeup to cover up. Being the way that you are is enough. Everyone else in the room.
Seriously, people, to hell with the panic button. Do you want to know the definition of panic? The definition of panic is getting a text from your daughter when she's in school, in capital letters, telling you that Zayn Malik has left One Direction. That's panic. That is absolute panic. Never mind the basketball team or the hockey team. Zayn Malik has left One Direction. Look, I'm going to hang on to hope a little while longer with the Toronto Raptors, to be honest, in honor of the fact that they aren't the Toronto Maple Leafs. And a sports fan can only handle so much grief at a time, even in this city. I mean, there's going to be plenty of people pushing the panic button for you. Don't worry about that. You don't need me, old Mr. 9 to 12, to do it. Of course, I'm seeing the same things you see. I'm seeing the piss-poor defense, the odd decision-making down the stretch, and a team that without a fully healthy Kyle Lowry looks awfully exposed at times. To wit, with Lowry on the court, that team wins Tuesday's game against the Pistons, as they did when they beat the San Antonio Spurs 87-82 in February, a game that head coach Dwayne Casey ought to be showing the troops again. There's no doubt that this team is in a slide, and our Michael Granger Sportsnet put it in context. The Raptors are 6-13 since the All-Star break, and in their last 41 games, they are third worst in the NBA in defensive field goal percentage and 26th in defensive rating. They've allowed 106 points per 100 possessions. Folks, they are statistically the worst defensive team of any club bound for the playoffs. Tossing an inability to close out games or at least up the ante defensively in the fourth quarter, and you're looking at a toxic mix still. Let's not lose sight of the fact that for the Raptors, this season was all about returning to the playoffs and winning a round. That, I think, remains true. Equally as true is the fact that regardless of how well the Raptors played this season, it would be the matchup that determined their playoff chances. There are teams, like the Bulls and Cavaliers, that are simply out of their reach. Doesn't matter how the Raptors are playing, they're not beating them. Still, that's some optimism from a guy who has spent way too much time this year talking about the Maple Leafs, which, let's face it, is enough to suck the life out of anyone's soul. The big question this morning is, what can Dwayne Casey do to get this team playing defense? That would be a start. Is it a personnel matter? A systemic issue? We'll ask Sportsnet Raptors TV analyst Leo Routens about that, and at 10 o'clock we'll be joined by the man himself, Dwayne Casey. This is the Jeff Blair Show, the first post-Zayn Malik in One Direction version of the Jeff Blair Show.
The Jeff Blair Show is on the air on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Join the conversation with Jeff on Twitter using the hashtag Blair Show or call 416-870-0590. Now, here's Jeff Blair.
A little bit of breaking news before we get to Leo Routens. The Blue Jays have, in fact, optioned reliever Steve Delabar to minor league camp, where he will attempt to regain his split-fingered pitch. Folks, that means, at least at first glance, that Roberto Osuna will go north with the Blue Jays along with Miguel Castro. So we'll talk to Ben Nicholson-Smith about this in the 11 o'clock hour as we preview the baseball preview, Sportsnet Magazine. But that means right now, you're looking at Miguel Castro and Roberto Osuna making the team. Two rookies. Two guys who, if they didn't make the team, would be playing at single A this year. Devin Travis has a shot at making the team. Daniel Norris has made the team. It's four rookies right there. Aaron Sanchez is a young guy. So, and Dalton Pompey, of course. So it appears as if youth is being served in the Toronto Blue Jays this year, and we'll keep on top of that. Maybe try to get somebody from the Blue Jays camp to comment on that, because I think it's a little bit of a surprise that Steve Delabarre was sent down as early as he was. We'll have plenty of baseball talk. I had a little hockey talk as well. The Leafs and Panthers tonight. That game will be on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. But before we deal with that, the Toronto Raptors losing again to the Chicago Bulls last night. And I said at the start of the year that the team that I absolutely didn't want the Raptors to match up against in the playoffs was the Bulls. Now, that was with Derrick Rose, I admit. I still think the Bulls are a really good team. I think they're a little out of the Raptors league right now. But the bigger concern for me is the way the Raptors have played since the All-Star break. It's the inability to close out games. It's the surfacing of some pretty suspect decision-making, and at times, just the absolute, and I mean absolute, lack of defense. Leo Routens is our Raptors TV analyst. He's played the game. He's coached the game. He coaches the game. He understands the concepts behind the game. Leo Routens joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Leo, thanks for doing this. I've got to ask you, does Dwayne Casey have enough time left in the regular season to try to get these guys right defensively for the playoffs?
Oh, sure, Jeff. I mean, he definitely does. The question is, are these guys going to do what has to be done before the playoffs? I don't think it's a question of coaching. I think it's a question of guys being committed to it, guys being dedicated and willing to put all the effort forth that you've seen in the past with these very same guys. So that's going to be the big question. And it concerns me because I hear a lot of talk, and I think everybody's hearing a lot of talk. And when you hear, okay, you know, we just need a game or two, or we'll flip the switch, or we'll do this. Well, that all sounds great, but it's not going to happen. And there's no switch, and there's no one game. It's a commitment to doing it, and it's got to start happening, or it's going to be, not a lot of fun in the postseason, period.
In conversation with Leo Routens on the Jeff Blair Show, what has happened to this team defensively?
You know, a lot of people may be surprised to hear this, but John Salmons, who an older player, faded somewhat offensively, didn't really have the legs, made a huge difference for this team at the defensive end last year. And, you know, one of the great things when you talk about this team last year, you know, chemistry. And the chemistry and the options that they had with John Salmons defensively allowed them to do so many more things than they're capable of doing this year. And believe it or not, that one component has made a big difference. The other factor is, I think my personal opinion is, people got comfortable. And, you know, the Raptors led, you know, you had guys who were playing for contracts. Now they have contracts. You have guys that led the Eastern Conference, or in first place for 2 months, and in the top three for the entire season. I think there was a certain comfort level that was attained. They relaxed. They knew they could score. I mean, even Tom Thibodeau last night saying, you know, this is a dangerous team. You know, they can score in a bunches. And, yeah, they can. But they just relied on that, and they got away from some of the things that made them a good team last year. And it's really going to come down to whether they realize that. That's the biggest thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not whether you're doing or not, or you're, you know, do you frankly understand that if you don't play the way you played before, the way this team is constructed, you're not going to win. And I'm not getting the vibe that people really understand that, and players, I mean, really understand that. And somehow that's got to get through.
Hey, Leo, how much of this do you think, and not searching for excuses for this team, but how much of this do you think stems from the fact that, you know, they had Kyle Lowry, then they didn't have Kyle Lowry. They had DeMar DeRozan at the start of the year, then they didn't have him. It took a while to get used to playing with him back in circulation, if you want to call it that. It just seems as if since the All-Star break, it's almost as if this team came back from the All-Star break and really became a work in progress. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's kind of the feeling I'm getting from a distance.
No question. I mean, the impact of Kyle and DeMar on this team is dramatic. And having, you know, I think a lot of things came into play. Obviously, when DeMar went down, that had a big effect on this team because he was playing very, very well when he got hurt. Kyle Lowry, you know, I kept waiting all last year. You know, Kyle Lowry kept getting, you know, going and going and going. He's got to crack sometime.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't. And this season starts, and he's going and going and going and going. Like, Jesus, this guy's got to crack sometime. DeMar gets hurt. And his game goes even to a higher level. And all of a sudden, you know, the team's on the Western swing. And I remember distinctly the game in Phoenix. And I'm looking at Kyle's face, and I go, he's got nothing. I mean, and he was in shock because I don't know even he could understand how to handle not having anything because I haven't seen it before from him. So, you know, and that started to work in a lot of different ways because this team depends so much on Kyle. So, DeMar in, Kyle in, out, you know, all those factors with a team that doesn't have a lot of margin for error, I think definitely have weighed into all the things that have happened here.
In conversation with Leo Routens on the Jeff Blair Show. Leo, I want to talk about the Bulls for a little bit. I picked them to win the East at the start of the year. A lot of other people did. That's, you know, it's not entirely something to trumpet necessarily, but even without Derrick Rose, they're still a handful. How far can this team go in the playoffs, do you think, without Derrick Rose?
You know, this is a team that was built to be one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference and to contend. And you can see that a player like Aaron Brooks, I mean, Aaron Brooks has had an excellent season playing for Tom Thibodeau at the backup point guard and stepping in for Derrick Rose. But, you know, if Derrick Rose, and it looks like he's going to come back too, Jeff, so if he comes back, and he showed me this season, even against the Raptors, that he doesn't have to be the Derrick Rose that dominates the game, but if he does some of the things he's capable of, picks his spots, and against Toronto, he in first game and in the second game in Chicago, he picked his spots and was tremendous at the end of the game. And if he just does that, that takes that team to a whole different level. And I really, you know, they're one of the top teams. I think, you know, right now if I had to rank them, I put Cleveland 1, and this is for postseason.
Mm-hmm.
Cleveland 1, Chicago 2, Atlanta 3. But I think Cleveland's the best team in the East right now, and they're playing that way. And it's kind of like the old Chicago Bulls when they had Michael Jordan. You may think that you can beat them, but they got this one guy that could kind of put a twist into that, and that's what Cleveland is this year, that, you know, they've gotten a lot better. They're playing well, and you can think you can beat them, but they do have that one guy that can change all that. So I put Cleveland 1, Chicago 2 at this point.
You know, one of the things I like about watching the Bulls play is because he played on the West Coast a lot, I probably didn't get as much of a chance to see him as I'd like to, but I could watch Pau Gasol play every day and be a happy, happy basketball fan.
Oh, I agree. He just really has a great feel for the game. And, you know, in a lot of respects, he's being used in Chicago much better than he was over the later years in Los Angeles because everything runs through their bigs. If you watch the way they play, it's old-school basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's Noah, whether it's Gasol, that ball's running through their big guys, and he's such a great passer. And again, I'm going to reference Noah. Both of these guys that play off of them, it's not just about them scoring. They're going to make the right play, the right pass. And, you know, people sometimes forget, and I mentioned it during the game, that how big Gasol is. I mean, this guy is a legitimate footer. I mean, he's long. But when you're that long and have the strength, have the skill to step out, hit jump shots, to play back to the basket, see the floor, man, does he make a difference. And I'm right with you. I love watching that guy play.
Leo, it's great of you to join us this morning. Thanks so much.
My pleasure, Jeff. Thanks.
It's Leo Routens, our Raptors TV analyst on Sportsnet. You can follow him on Twitter, at Leo Routens. So, the Chicago Bulls beating the Raptors 116-103 last night. The Bulls are, as I said yesterday, they are the immovable force. They are the Raptors' hoodoo. The Raptors cannot beat them. And it's a combination of things. I think mostly it's just a combination of their inside game and their ability to play tough defense at times. I mean, really smothering defense at times. And it's funny because you watch that team play, and I think you look at some of the guys they have on the court at times. You've got Mike Dunleavy. You've got Kirk Heinrich. You've got Noah. You've got Gasol. And I think there's a tendency at times to sort of look at the Bulls as a little bit of a slower team. I mean, they do play a little more old-school basketball than other teams do. But they've got some guys in that team who can really step up from the outside. And they are going to be a handful in the playoffs. Now, to bring it back to the Raptors, and I want to get some calls on this at 416-870-0590, *591-888-666-0590. Going to ask a simple question. Who has to step up for the Raptors to stop this? Who has to step up for the Raptors to get it right before they go into the playoffs? We will have Dwayne Casey on with us at 10 o'clock, and we'll ask Dwayne Casey, what can he do? Again, Dwayne Casey hasn't neglected coaching defense for the past 5 months. But clearly something is being missed in the execution. And I agree with Leo. I don't think it's not that the coaches aren't doing their job. I mean, Dwayne Casey's well aware of how important defense is to a successful team. It could be a combination of the players they have on the court. It could be guys wearing down. I have been surprised, frankly, at the number of times in the past 2 months. Now, I'm going to rephrase that. Number of times in the past month, especially, that I've watched the Raptors play, and I get a sense that they are just physically tired by the time the fourth quarter rolls around. And I don't know what you do if you're a coach, because these are your go-to guys who are tired. But I've seen it time and time again. And it's not just players tired physically. What happens in any sport when you're tired? You make bad decisions. It's a combination of things. But honest to God, I have said all along from the start of the year that my read on the Raptors is that this group that surprised us last year, that excited us last year, I wanted to see what this group was capable of. Could they sustain what they did last year for a full season? I wanted to get a read on the core of this team. How good could they really be going forward? And to me, if this group wins a playoff round, that will be progress. That will tell me something. I don't care how they get to the playoffs. You know, people say they backed in last night. They did not back in last night. They had to win one out of their last 11 games to get in the playoffs. They were going to get in the playoffs. A team doesn't win as many games as they've won to back into the playoffs. But I understand why fans are concerned. I am refusing to push the panic button right now. I really am. And I want to see what this group does. This is important. You've got some decisions to make about players this year. You've got to make decisions about Terrence Ross. You've got to make a decision on Amir Johnson. There's a seismic shift in the NBA coming up because of the new TV contract and because the possibility exists that there may be an early round of labor negotiations. There's a seismic shift coming up in this league. Teams are going to have to be light of foot. They're going to have to be well positioned to do a lot of moves, to make a lot of moves on the fly. And I think that's what this year has been about for Masai Ujiri. This is about an experiment. This is about what do I have? What do I really have here? I had a team that overachieved last year. I had a team that came out of nowhere last year. That excited everybody. That's great. What can they do together for a full season? So all these things are factoring in here. I still maintain, if this team win, and I don't care who the first round matchup is, if they play Washington in the first round or Milwaukee and they win a playoff round, that will be advancement. That will be advancement. Doesn't matter what they're doing now. Doesn't matter what they did in September or October, November. If they win a playoff round, that will be an advancement as far as I'm concerned. But I understand that there are people out there right now feeling awfully, awfully uncomfortable with where the Raptors are. Mike in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Mike.
One quick point with that question that you asked. For me, I don't think it's an individual thing. I really don't. I think the team has to play and has to pick up their game as a whole. Because right now, you saw when DeRozan was out, Lowry stepped out fantastically. You know, I don't have confidence that DeMar can carry this team, but I have confidence that DeMar can play at a high level. But I think as a team, as an individual, as a whole, have to pick it up. Because last night, when I saw those last 3 minutes, there was a lack of communication on the floor. No one was talking. No one was picking up their reads and their roles and their screens. And you saw, at one point, I saw Patterson, Amir Johnson, and Lou Williams kind of look at each other like, hey, what's going on here? And that's a lack of communication. But I just have one quick question for you, Jeff. You say about how the team last year compared to this year. Do you believe that last year having the lack of pressure compared to this year with the amount of pressure has made a difference?
No, not really. I think, is there a chance that some of the guys in this team got a little carried away based on their start? I suppose, but I never really got the sense that these guys thought they were better than they were. You know, I spent a little time in their locker room after games, and you don't get that sense. At least I didn't. I didn't get that sense that this was a kind of a cocky, arrogant team. I think this is a team that has a pretty good idea of what it's about. And again, I'm not in there as much as guys like Grange or Doug Smith, certainly. But I don't get that vibe. And people around the team don't put that forward as a possibility. But you know what? I'll ask Dwayne Casey. I will ask Dwayne Casey. We'll have him on at 10 o'clock. I'll say, Dwayne, did we get ahead of ourselves, or did your players get ahead of themselves? I will ask him that, because it is a valid question. It is a valid question. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. Victor in Milton, you're on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, you're on the Jeff Blair Show. What is up, Victor?
I'll tell you what's up, Jeff. How you doing, first of all?
Doing well.
Okay, here's the thing. You asked the question, who needs to step up? Well, mm-hmm. The guy that you're going to be talking to, the coach, he needs to step up, and I'll tell you why. Over the last maybe 6 to 8 weeks, we've seen something that's starting to creep into their play, which is undisciplined play. Mm-hmm. And this is not a very cerebral bunch. There's a lot of dumb, stupid mistakes. I'm going to give you a couple of examples. DeMar DeRozan, with less than 24 seconds left in the half, why are you taking a jump shot when you're up 7 with 7 seconds to go? What happened? My guy comes back down when he misses, even though he got fouled.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't care. You shouldn't have been taking that shot with 7 seconds to go. They closed the half of the three the other team did. That's a dumb mistake. End of the third quarter. Sure, he got fouled again, but so what? You just shut your trap and play on. He takes a technical to start the third period.
Yes.
That's the type of thing that gives another team an advantage, mental goal.
But you know what, Victor? But Victor, and I'm going to say this in fairness to DeMar DeRozan, that was out of character for him.
I understand that, but that last guy talked about pressure.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. You can't be out of character when you need to win, when you must win.
I agree.
You know, and that's a problem. So that was a valid question that last caller asked. Is the pressure getting to them?
Yeah, I'm going to ask Dwayne Casey that, because it is a valid question. Absolutely.
You know, and last, I just want to say this. This team needs to think on their feet. There are too many instances where they do things that they're not supposed to do. And this thing with Captain Phillips, they got me saying this.
Lou Williams.
Lou Williams. This one-on-one basketball has to stop. The NBA is not just one-on-one. They have to start playing basketball, and that's a coaching thing. Thanks, Jeff.
Appreciate the call, Victor. I think a lot of, and I don't want to make it sound as if I'm sitting here and I'm turning Kyle Lowry into the greatest point guard in the history of the game, but I think a lot of what we saw these last two games would not have happened if Kyle Lowry been out there. I mean, I could be overplaying my hand. I admit it. Kyle Lowry's had his ups and downs since the All-Star break too, but I tend to think a lot of that is just more than anything else is just physical. And this is a point guard league now. This is a point guard league. This is a shooter's league. I mean, what's the catchphrase now? 3 and D. Or D and 3, however you want to describe it. And I think we're seeing just how important Kyle Lowry has been to this team. But, you know, Leo Routon's made an interesting point in our conversation with him as well. We forget last year the number of times that John Salmons got in the game in crunch time and was an important part of the decision-making process on the floor. We forget that. We talked about it last year a lot. What a smart pickup that was for the Raptors. He's an older player. Doesn't have much time left, but he was a smart guy. He's a guy who could make some proper decisions under pressure. And I wonder if that commodity is missing just a bit. It's another question we'll ask Dwayne Casey when he joins us at 10 o'clock. Don't forget, we'll have Leafs hockey tonight. The Florida Panthers are in town to play the Maple Leafs. That'll be at 7:30. Our Leafs Nation pregame with Stellick and Osborne will hit the airways at 7. And then, of course, Leafs Nation postgame with Stellick and Osborne after the final horn. Going to take a break and come back with more of your Raptors calls. We'll try to get Mike Wilner in Florida. Apparently, Steve Delabar has just gone off after finding out that he has been optioned to minor league camp. He is not a happy camper. So we'll try to get a hold of Wilner and find out what the story is behind that. And we'll continue our basketball dialogue as well. All of that ahead in the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
This is really an underrated song. I admit I like this song. I know it's called the best song ever. I'll tell you, by the way, as we contemplate life with One Direction not having Zayn Malik in it anymore, I had an off-the-air conversation with my producer, Travis McKenzie. He's got a disturbing amount of knowledge of boy bands. It really does. He was going over the who's still in NSYNC, who's still in Backstreet Boys, and anyhow, that's such a good song. Welcome back to the Jeff Blair Show. I was going to call it the Jeff Blair Store, which maybe we should have one. Lots of breaking news out of Blue Jays camp. Steve Delabar is pissed. He's been sent down. Michael Saunders, Mysore's tourist, will start the year in the DL. Mike Wilner's going to join us in a few minutes from Dunedin. But in the meantime, let's go to Rocky and Markham as we continue our discussion about the Raptors. Rocky, first of all, who's your favorite member of One Direction?
To be honest with you, I would say DeMar DeRozan.
That's not bad. That's very good. DeMar DeRozan's your favorite member of One Direction, and usually that One Direction. Anyhow, go ahead.
Because the reason why, because is because of what's that? Before the Raptors traded, the Raptors traded Rudy Gay, mm-hmm. We knew that DeMar DeRozan and Rudy Gay were very similar players. And once Rudy Gay was traded, they had the transitional game. They were passing the ball a lot more than what they are doing. And now they're not. And if you notice yesterday's stats, Chicago had 26 assists. The Raptors only had 16.
Mm-hmm.
That number is lacking. Is not good at all. And at the same time, I would like to see Jonas Valanciunas get a little bit more touches and play more in the fourth quarter, because because their front court is not good right now. If you look at Chicago, they have Joakim Noah, Paul Gasol, and they have Taj Gibson. You're like, if Taj Gibson was playing for a different team, he would be a starting power forward.
He would.
No question about that. That's why Toronto doesn't really have that starting power forward. They have three backups, and that's what's going to hurt them during the playoffs. And when you have that front court, that I think that secures a lot of situations, rebounding, defense, et cetera, et cetera. And before I leave, were you surprised that Steve Dalibar was demoted?
Yeah, I was. Now, I didn't see him pitch against the Orioles yesterday. But it kind of. Yeah, I thought the decision might take a little longer. But look, it's pretty clear that I'll say this: John Gibbons and Alex Anthopoulos from the start have said they're going to take the best team north, and it appears that's what they're doing. Mike Wilner, our Blue Jays voice, Sportsnet 590, the Fan, is in Dunedin. And Mike, boy, that's a busy early morning for you guys.
Yeah, it certainly wasn't expected. I mean, we talked about it yesterday, and I talked about his split and how it needs to be better, and it wasn't yesterday against the Orioles. But I don't know if it's that cut and dried after talking to John Gibbons.
I mean,
it seemed like, you know, if you look into the subtext, that Gibbons was really upset and didn't want to really talk about it. And
was upset at Dalibar's reaction, or?
No, I think he was upset about the demotion. It makes me feel like he lost the battle here and didn't want Steve Dalibar to be sent down. But I wonder who it was between. And if it's Dalibar and Osuna, then Osuna has certainly pitched awfully, awfully well and deserves a spot on this team. If maybe it's Dalibar and Redmond, and they're keeping Redmond because of the options. But again, I think they want some multiple inning relief depth because you're starting Sanchez and Norris, and
right.
you kind of need that. So maybe having Estrada as your multiple inning reliever isn't enough, and you need another guy. And so it does seem to make sense to me. If Miguel Castro is going to be your setup guy, and you know, Brett Cecil is going to be your closer, then Roberto Osuna is probably and Todd Redmond are probably better options to have than a Steve Dalibar who's not at his peak.
Mm.
I thought Dalibar was a slam dunk to make this team, but the devastating splitter hasn't been there. He's had a fine spring, but Osuna has just been so good. And I think what'll really anger a lot of people is if this move is made to save a guy who has options like a Kyle Drabek. But I don't see that happening.
I can't, yeah. That would, I mean, has Kyle Drabek done enough this spring to warrant that type of consideration?
He's been fine, nothing special.
Yeah.
He might get claimed by, so I can see Houston claiming him
sure.
on waivers.
Sure.
But that, you're taking the best 25 men. That's the risk you take.
You know, and it's interesting, I'm glad you put it the way you did, Mike, because people need to understand it. Look, we've covered baseball for a long time, and there are always instances where a manager and general manager or quote-unquote management differ on how a roster is set. Sometimes it becomes public, sometimes it doesn't. But, I mean, there's always differences of opinion, and I guarantee it won't be the last difference of opinion between John Gibbons and Alex Anthopoulos when it comes to setting this roster.
And the front office has the final say.
Yes.
And, sometimes it's a delicate balance, obviously. Sometimes a GM is going to give in to what a manager wants, do something he doesn't want to do to keep the manager happy and the troops on the field, as it were. But sometimes he's going to have to put his foot down and say, look, this is the deal. This is the way we're going. And, I'm not sure that happened in this instance,
mm-hmm.
but John Gibbons certainly did not seem happy at all with, and I don't think he was unhappy with Dalibar's reaction. In fact, he said he was happy that Dalibar reacted the way he did. It might just have to be while you're dealing with somebody's livelihood and
right.
you don't want to have to tell this guy that he's a big leaguer, but he's going to start in Buffalo.
Right.
Or it might be that he
really saw the bullpen constructed in a different way.
We've also found out, and you put this out on Twitter, that John Gibbons said that Meiser is Turris and Michael Saunders will start the year in the DL. Right now, what does that do to the composition of the roster? Your best guess as to who that helps. Does that help, for example, a Steve Tolleson?
Yeah, it really does. But I think it might help Devin Travis or Ryan Goins more. First of all, it saves Tolleson. And I don't know, you know, if he would consider it to be a help, because he spends a week in the major leagues,
right,
and maybe gets snuck through waivers, and instead of somebody claiming him at the end of spring training and getting a job somewhere in the big leagues. But with Saunders going on the DL, they can afford to keep Tolleson from waivers and use him as their fourth outfielder, again, until Saunders is ready. And it also gives him a little bit of a backup if Devin Travis is completely overmatched in the first week of the season, then they can send Travis down to Buffalo for a while and keep Goins and Tolleson as that platoon at second base that they used a little bit last year. If Esturiz had been healthy, he would have been the starting second baseman, so Travis would probably have started in the minors. So these two moves get Devin Travis and Steve Tolleson into the big leagues to start, and it helps Travis a lot more, because Tolleson, I guess, they're only doing it to give them the flexibility to try to sneak him through waivers a week later.
Now, Mike, I know that you're a father of two daughters, correct?
Correct.
Are they holding up okay under the Zane Malik news?
You know what? I have no idea who that is, and I think I should be happy about that.
He left One Direction yesterday. You didn't know that?
My daughters are—I don't even know what One Direction fans are called, but they are the
one. They're called Directioners. They're called Directioners.
I don't believe that to be.
They are. They're called. Travis, look it up. They're called Directioners. They are.
They're the opposite. They are anti-Directioners.
Oh, that's awful.
They're in the group that thinks it's cool to hate One Direction. So
they probably don't care. Who's your favorite member of One Direction, by the way? It would have to be Niall Horan, right?
It doesn't have to be Harry.
Oh, Harry's okay.
Isn't he supposed to be the dreamy one, the heartthrob, the rebel with the long hair who doesn't care about nothing?
That's right. Yeah, that's a guy that Taylor Swift dissed.
I think that the way boy bands are designed, everyone's supposed to like Harry.
By the way, our intern Andrew Pozzola looked up the checked online, and Mike, I was right. Fans of One Direction are called Directioners, sounds a little bit like kind of a cultish thing, doesn't it?
It shows an astounding lack of creativity.
Bye, Mr. Wilner.
Bye-bye.
It's Mike Wilner, part of our Blue Jays broadcast crew. Mike Wilner will be at it this afternoon. The Philadelphia Phillies will play the Blue Jays at 1 o'clock on Sportsnet590.ca. Cole Hamels, who has not yet been traded. Cole Hamels will be on the mound for the Phillies against Aaron Sanchez for the Blue Jays. Again, breaking news out of Blue Jays camp. Steve Delabar optioned or sent down to minor league camp. Neither he nor John Gibbons apparently particularly excited by that move. And John Gibbons also announcing that Meiser is Turris and Michael Saunders will start the year in the disabled list, which effectively means Steve Tolleson, Ryan Goins, and Devin Travis have made the team. The move of Delabar down to the minor league camp suggests very strongly that Roberto Osuna will go north with the Blue Jays as well. So you will have Osuna and Miguel Castro pitching in the majors. Two guys who at the start of spring training were destined to go to single A Dunedin. That tells you something about the bullpen when two guys who could have been at single A are going to start the year in the majors. In the bullpen. But I will say this. They have both pitched their way onto the staff. And again, if you're going to say, as the Blue Jays have said, as Alex Anthopoulos and John Gibbons have said, if you're going to say we're going to take our best 25 men north, then I think you're almost obligated to give it up to guys who go out in spring training and win jobs. And that is exactly what Roberto Osuna and to a certain degree, Miguel Castro have done. We'll have a lot of baseball talk ahead in the 11 o'clock hour. Ben Nicholson-Smith, baseball editor of Sportsnet.ca, will join us in studio. We will talk to Ben about these latest Blue Jays storylines. We'll take a look at Sportsnet Magazine's MLB preview issue, which is now available in the Sportsnet Magazine app and next issue, and will be arriving in subscriber mailboxes today. It's a great package. Ben's got a piece in baseball's next breakout star. It's a piece on what to expect from Bryce Harper, the Tampa Bay Rays offense, Giancarlo Stanton. There's all sorts of stuff in it as well, of course, as a lot of Blue Jays material. So Ben Nicholson-Smith joins us at 11 o'clock. We'll take your calls as well in the 11 o'clock hour. We'll talk baseball for the whole hour. Lyndon Byers, co-host of the Hillman Morning Show, WAAF 97.7, 107.3 in Boston. He'll join us in the next hour. We'll get you, we'll talk a little bit about the Bruins, the struggling Bruins, and who have a home game against the Anaheim Ducks. Tonight, the Bruins are 0-3-2 in their last five games, including a shootout loss to Buffalo. They are on fumes right now, trying to make the playoffs. Renaud Lavoie of Tavia Sports. He will join us at 10:15, and when we come back, Dwayne Casey, head coach of the Toronto Raptors, will join us. Lots of questions for the head coach. It's the Jeff Blair Show. This is Sportsnet 590, The Fan.